Jamie's already complimented Craig and the class tonight, and I'm going to say the same thing. If it looked like I limped up here, I did. She stomped all over my toes, gave me a few gut shots, and slapped me a few times. But, and I mean, I'm picking out the next hotel that on our next vacation, so hang on, family. Get a good. I don't know if any of you have ever heard the story called The House of a Thousand Terrors. A House of a Thousand Terrors. It's a true story. There's a town called Rotterdam. It's a Dutch town in the Netherlands. And in the 16th century, Philip II of Spain told his Duke of Alba to go take control of this town, this Dutch, small Dutch nation. So the Duke decided, instead of having just an all-out onslaught and just a raid of the city, that he would go and tell the mayor and the councilman of the town that I just want to have a small detachment of soldiers to march through the south gate, through the streets, and exit the north gate, and let the townspeople have an opportunity to just show their submission and show their that they're going to have loyalty to Spain. So the councilman and the mayors met and decided that even though there was some concern, that they would go ahead and do that. And they did. They opened the south gate, and here comes the small group of soldiers in through the gate. But as feared, the soldiers that were hid raided the gate, took over the city, and just started killing everybody, men, women, children, and no disregard. And there was a house, a building, there at the corner of the market square that a lot of people fled into to take refuge. And before long, the building was full. And they barricaded the door and immediately summons for everybody, be as quiet as you can. And they knew it was just a matter of time that the soldiers were going to come to the door, knock it down, and kill them all. So they were trying to think, what can we do? And there were animals and everything's around. So they took a lamb. They slaughtered the lamb and they let the blood flow underneath the door of the house and let it go out onto the streets in hopes that when the soldiers came to the building that they would see the blood and go, okay, the massacre's already happened here. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. The soldiers came, started pounding on the door, and then they saw the blood, and they backed off and went on to the next building. And a few days later, as those people came out into the streets, they realized they were the sole survivors of the town of Rotterdam. And it was because of the blood of that lamb that they had spread that saved their life. It's a true story. The House of a Thousand Terrors. And any time you tell a story like that and you try to compare it to the Gospels, the inadequacy is huge. The significance of anything that we could do and tell here versus the stories we read in the Bible is so insignificant. But it's hard to not see the light, shed the light on a story from the Bible where Jesus gave his life as the Lamb for us, where he became our substitute and he became our Savior. The lamb that was in the story of Rotterdam had no will. The lamb had no choice. But Jesus certainly did. He had the will and he had the choice to become the sacrifice for you and I and for the sins that we've committed. Jesus said several things in the scriptures about will. He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's in John 6:38. He said, pray then like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's Matthew 6:9-10. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 7:21. And Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not for my will, that thine be done. Luke 22:42. So the question we have for ourselves tonight is, whose will are we following? Are we following our own will and our own desires? Or are we following God's will? If you think about your life and you think, well, I do a little of both, or maybe I do fall more and follow my own will, God has a warning for us. In John 12:25, he says, he who loves his life is going to lose it, and he who hates his life on this world will keep it for eternal life. We cannot let the death of Jesus go in vain as it pertains to how we live our life. And there may be some in the audience tonight who's having trouble. you're struggling. It may be because of sin. It could be because of, you know, you're struggling with temptations or health or school or finances, whatever it may be. Anytime we face anything in life, the first thing we've got to do is evaluate, where's our relationship with God? What is our relationship with God? And we start there. That's our first beginning before we can make any significant improvements and change in our life. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success." The crown of success may not be an earthly crown. It may not be what we're striving to gain. It may not be the crown that we think is important that we're striving for. But the crown of success that God's going to give us if we put him first is because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus, our Lamb, who died for us. There could be somebody here tonight who's not yet a Christian. If you're not and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you need to come forward and confess that you believe that he's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be baptized. Come out of the water a new creature and living the life that God wills us to live. There could be some here who are a child of God. You have been baptized, but you've become weak, or you've got sin in your life and you need to make corrections, or you just need the prayers of the congregation for something. However, if you need help, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.